The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, and we're with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue in the amazing book of Isaiah in chapter 41 with a message titled The First and the Last. So you won't want to miss this program. And of course, for those of you that are following us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
As always, Lord, we thank you so much for your insights into you, your plan, and Lord, your purposes for all of us who've tuned in. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us through our study of Isaiah, and we pray you'll continue to bless us, Lord, as we seek to know you better. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned in to our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our message for today is out of the first and the last in Isaiah chapter 41. So we thank you for being part of today's program. Before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful episode that we get to join in.
I am really enjoying our Isaiah series. You know, folks, if you've been following The Truth Will Set You Free, it's the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries, and we've been doing this for 15 years now, and Vic and I have been holding off on covering the entire book of Isaiah, but we're finally tackling it, and brother, it is just an amazing book filled with prophecy, filled with comfort, with great insights into God. I hope you all have been blessed as you've been coming along with us on this journey through the book of Isaiah.
Oh, thanks, Nate. And Nate, again, if someone is new, maybe they just joined us for the first time and they don't know how to get a hold of these resources, might you be able to share that with them?
Oh, absolutely. Again, we're the Bible Prophecy Ministry, Lamb and Lion Ministries. That's our focus. We want to focus on the 31% of the Bible that is prophecy in nature, because we believe that the Bible has the answers that God wants us to have about the future and our life today. And so you can connect with us through this podcast. We also have other ways you can connect if you want to see the archives on our website at christinprophecy.org. Maybe you're on Apple, Spotify, Audible, pray.com, or through our RSS feed. We welcome you. And if you want to go back and listen to 15 years of archives, so many lessons on so many prophetic books in the Bible. There's just so much prophecy in the Bible. Check us out, christinprophecy.org.
Oh, thank you so much, Nate. And of course, maybe you're a pastor or a leader and you want an event at your church. Maybe one of us will go speak there. We do that as well, right, Nate? When we have the opportunities, we'll be glad to come out and share a message through the Word of God and on prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, you could tune to our television program, Christ in Prophecy. We also have a radio program by the same name, this podcast. And like Vic says, we go on to churches and conferences all throughout the world, mostly in the United States, but it's been overseas as well, and just sharing the good news of the soon return of Jesus Christ. So if you're holding a conference at your church or event center, we'd love to be speakers there. Just reach out to us through our website at christinprophecy.org. You can get my email address, webminister@lamblion.com, or just click the contact button there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that. Again, the wonderful book of Isaiah. We completed on our last episode, chapter 40. And Nathan, we spoke about the greatness of God, Israel's comforter, what God is capable of and what God has created. And it's just mind-blowing, Nathan. Also, as the Bible speaks, how he will protect us and shield us like on eagle's wings, how we will renew our strength. And Nathan, on our last program, you brought out for us there, which I thought was wonderful, that realization that someday we will have a glorified body and we will not get weary or get tired anymore.
Oh, yes, yes. Chapter 41 is a continuation of with the theme of 40, where God is promising comfort for his children that one day their time of war will end, their time of suffering will end. The weakness and infirmities of our earthly bodies will end. We have something wonderful to look forward to. And then God guarantees it by comparing mankind to him. You know, he's the great God of the universe who created everything, and he knows all. And so we can put our faith and trust that he is putting his reputation on the line, so to speak, that he's not God if this doesn't come true. So we are guaranteed 100% that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will experience this resurrection and reformation of your bodies into your glorified bodies, and you will enter God's comfort and peace.
Praise the Lord. What amazing encouragement that is. Thanks, Nate. And as we dive into Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to be reading from the New King James Bible. And it's a fascinating, fascinating chapter. Nate, would you be able to open us up there with verses 1 through 5 and not read 6 through 10 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay. And folks, because it's a little longer as a chapter like 40 was, we're going to go through a lot of content. But don't worry, we'll sum it all up here. So verse 1. Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east? Who his righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he has not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. The coastlands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came.
Verse 6, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, says it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. But you, O Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Nathan, what amazing promises we find through his word.
Absolutely. So here again, the Lord is saying, you know, I am the ultimate. I am God. My reputation, my name is important. And so if I'm saying that this is going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, it's interesting, Vic, when you read this, there's a lot of what's called proleptic prophecy in it. Proleptic is a term meaning a prophecy that even though its future is read as past tense. In other words, for God, who's outside of time, this prophecy of his kingdom coming to this earth is already been fulfilled. And likely, brother, we will be reading Isaiah 41 in the kingdom, and it will seem like, oh yeah, we can agree it. This is all past tense because, you know, the word of God, as we read in Isaiah 48, it stands forever. And so we'll be reading this forever. And so in this current, where we are on the timeline, makes it seem future. But for our future selves, later in the timeline, this will be past. I know that's kind of mind-blowing, but it's exciting because what this means is that if the Lord says that this time of peace is coming, it's coming and we can be guaranteed.
Oh, that is so neat. And yeah, and it is really is amazing because that's the God that we serve. He sees the ends from the beginning. And that's why I love there when he says in the verse, the opening verse regarding I, the Lord, am the first. I am he the last. And it just rings that bell, right, Nathan, in Revelation chapter 1, where it speaks about Jesus in his glorified body and his titles, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I mean, God knows everything.
Yeah, and it's interesting, verse 2, it says, who, past tense, raised up one from the east. Well, folks, this is a prophecy about the return of Jesus Christ at his second coming. There's other passages that corroborate that when the Lord returns, he will come from the east towards Jerusalem, and the nations will be given to him, and he will rule over all the kings of the earth. And so this is a second coming prophecy about the Lord coming to defeat evil and set up his kingdom on this earth. And yet, again, it's a proleptic prophecy because it's past tense. Who raised past tense, up the one from the east, as if Jesus has already come. So yes, this prophecy is future to us, but when we read it in the kingdom, it'll be past tense. And Vic, I hope that you and I will be there, and when we read it before the Lord, we'll be like, yeah, we taught through this. We remember this when this was future, but now it's past. Praise the Lord.
I love that. We'll probably forget what date this was recorded, but the Lord will say, remember, you guys did the program after Thanksgiving before.
There you go, brother. There you go. But it's exciting. And again, he guarantees it. Verse 4, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. In other words, he's eternal. He has no beginning and no end. And therefore, again, we can, as verse 6 says, be of good courage. This is going to happen. It to God, Jesus setting up his kingdom, defeating evil, it's all past tense to him. It's future to us, but that guarantees that it's going to happen.
That is cool. I think someone likened our lives and almost like a parade, like watching the Macy's parade, if you will, from like the blimp up in the sky. And from up there, you can see the beginning of the parade to the ending of the parade. But someone who's in the middle of the parade can't really see the ending of the beginning. And that's God sees the whole thing. Nate. He's looking from above, but we're like in the middle of the parade walking through it, and we can't see the end from the beginning.
Hey, man, that's a great analogy. Yeah, and it's very fitting for Thanksgiving time, right? The Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. You're right. Yeah, I mean, God is up there. He sees it all from beginning to end. We don't. And that's why again and again and again and again and again, the Lord says, just trust me. I've got it. It's going to happen. It's already happened for me, but for you, it's still future. It's guaranteed to happen. And that puts a lot of hope. That's what it's meant to give us, hope and comfort in this age, that all this evil that we're experiencing will end one day. It's not going to go on forever.
Oh, Nathan, and again, we look at verse 9, just like you're saying, how God sees the end from the beginning. He calls things as they right now as they were. And God promises that he's going to regather his people. Back in the book of Ezekiel, they were still scattered everywhere, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And yet God saw the nation of Israel regather back in their land. I have chosen you and have not cast you away, the Lord says. And he says, to whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant, verse 9, Isaiah. And isn't that just how it is, Nathan? These people that were scattered for thousands of years all over the globe, God already saw them back in their land. And you and I are seeing that miracle today.
And, you know, it's really interesting about you are my servant. Now, in the Old Testament, yes, the children of Israel were the servants of God. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and provided forgiveness and salvation, we became heirs. And so the Lord says that no longer do I call you servant, but I call you friend. What a difference between Old Testament and New Testament fulfillment, all achieved by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Ooh, glory, praise the Lord. Again, for those of you that just tuned in, you tuned into our 2263 Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we're looking at Isaiah chapter 41 with a message title, The First and the Last. And Nathan, as we continue, this chapter still gets more exciting as we continue in verse 11 through 20. Would you be able to pick it up there, Nathan, in 11 through 16 for us, and I'll read 17 through 20?
Okay, pick it up, verse 11. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth, and you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff.
And I'm sorry, Nathan. Sorry, let me just back 16? Up here.
Yep, 16 through 20.
Yeah, let me do. You shall winnow them with a wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and the glory of the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water, but there's none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land spring of water. I will plant in the wilderness and the cedars, acacia tree, the myrtle tree, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Nate, what amazes me is how many times I see there, I, God, I, the Lord. It's almost like there's no one else that can do this.
Because there isn't. I mean, he alone can achieve the peace, the comfort, the end of war, the end of strife, the end of the Jewish people living under bondage and diaspora spread out throughout the world. Just this end of the suffering that we go through as humans will have an end, and I just love it. And the Lord even calls all of nature, these trees and pines, and says, hey, I call all of nature as proof. They will witness it. We will see this happen one day. And I love, and I can't help but say this over and over again, Vic, how God just keeps reiterating again and again and again, you can trust me, this is going to happen because I am God. You know, we humans, we don't trust very well, and we think that the suffering will go on and on and on and never end, but it will come to an end, not millions of years or even thousands of years ago. Brother, I think it's years away. And so it's coming to an end, and we can put our faith and trust in God.
Nathan, and I love verse 14 because it says, I will help you, says the Lord. There's many people going through a lot of challenges today. Maybe they feel alone. Maybe they feel like there's no one there for them. But that's why the Bible is so neat when you have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That God is right here, right, Nathan? He continues to be available to help people in times of need.
Absolutely. Yes. Again, we've got this great God of the universe who's so above us. It's unbelievable. I remind me of that old Star Trek episode where Spock said the Organians, that we are like amoebas to them. You know, the Lord says earlier, we are like grasshoppers to him. And yet he made us in his image and loves us as his children and was even willing to come as a man and suffer and die on the cross for our sins. He loves us that much. And not anything because of us, but because of who God is, and he wants to populate heaven with people who actually want to be with him forever. You know, worship will come natural because of the great love the Lord showed us. It's not going to be doldrum and suffering and something you just have to do. It's an outpouring of love that he gave us, and we just reciprocate it. Brother, I long for that time period. I really do.
And Nathan, that's why I love the book that you just wrote, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, because it really is a constant reminder of what we are to look for, the blessings, as you explained there and gave a lot of detail in terms of that kingdom that awaits us. Verse 18 of chapter 41 says, I will open rivers and desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Nathan, in the millennium, right? What a beautiful place that's going to be, this earth.
Yeah, the Bible prophesies that not only will the Lord end war and suffering and strife, but he's going to end hunger and homelessness. The prophecies about the coming kingdom is that there will be boundless food. Matter of fact, people that are planting the seeds will be overpassed by the people picking the fruit. I mean, it's going to be that kind of world. He's even going to bring the Dead Sea back to life again. All the waters will be refreshed. We won't know hunger or starvation anymore. No more famines when the Lord sets up his kingdom. And again, he promises this to Jerusalem, to his people, that Jerusalem as representation of his people, Old Testament Israel, New Testament, those who were saved. All God's faithful will enjoy this great kingdom, and he's going to establish on this earth. And brother, I think the signs of the times indicate that we are getting very, very soon close to the Lord's return to set up this kingdom.
And I can't wait, Nathan. And it's true. There's so much tragedies going on around the world. There's so much sadness. There's so much violence. It's just incredible, Nathan. The reality of evil and all that is going to be done away with. My wife and I just started looking at a documentary, sort of movie that was done about 9/11, September 11th, and the hideous attacks on the World Trade Center. And Nathan, when you look at the face of evil and the sadness, the grief, the terror, inexplicable, destruction of human lives, people wonder, Lord, how much longer? But the reality is, Nate, that God is going to bring an end to this, and He's going to bring justice to those that are, again, bringing about evil. And we can't wait for that day of peace, which I believe is coming soon. And that's why it's so critical for people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they will be able to enter into that peace.
Yeah, and it's when we get to the next section, starting in verse 21, all the way to the end there, 29, God makes this huge comparison here. We say, okay, I'm the God of the universe, the all-powerful, almighty one. I have promised you this future, but you keep turning to idols. And so that's how he's going to make the next section. He's set this up where, okay, all this awesomeness has happened. I am the God of the universe. I'm going to make it happen, but you guys turn to sticks and coins and statues and fame and money, but we'll get into it when we get into verse 21.
Excellent point. So Nate, let me go ahead and do that. I'll pick it up there, verses 21 through 25, and then you can do 26 to the end of the chapter there, verse 20. Excuse me, that
Nine.
will be 29. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So he says, "Present your case," says the Lord. "Bring forth your strong reason," says the King of Jacob. "Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come thereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you're nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun, he shall call on my name, and he shall come against the princes as though mortar and as the potter treads clay."
Verse 26, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and former times that we may say he is righteous? Surely there is no one who shows, surely there is no one who declares, surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there you are, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked, and there was no man, and I looked among them, but there was no counselor, who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion.
Boy, Nathan, does that speak to a lot of what we see today?
Yeah. So, back in the Old Testament, and you could even see this today, I've been to a Hindu temple, millions of gods that they worship, or at least 300. What was it? 300 million, I think, is the last. It's an incredible number. And anyway, you can see modern idolatry today, but ancient idolatry was just that. People would take sticks and cover them with gold or silver and then just start worshiping them as a representation. I remember asking my missions professor once, I said, do they really believe those little statues are gods? And he says, well, the lower class and the uneducated do, but those who are more theologically trained in these pagan religions know that they represent what? Demons. These are demons that they're worshiping through the idols. And so the Lord here has spent a chapter and a half saying, I am the great God of the universe. I promise you all this comfort and joy and peace in my kingdom, yet you turn to these worthless idols, these idols that represent demons, demons who are going to be sent to hell one day, worthless and helpless, and they cannot help you. And so he kind of mocks them by challenging them here in this passage, and they are not up to the challenge whatsoever. It was a problem, brother, that the Israelites fell into again and again, needing these tiny little gods they could understand versus the great God of the universe. But we can't point to the Israelites because we too, in our era, always looking for something smaller to worship, more compact, and it usually ends up ourselves, and we always end up failing ourselves.
Wow, Nathan, that is such a reality today. All we have to do is turn on to social media, YouTube, and the like, and we see the amount of gods that we presently have. We just have them in looking in different shapes and forms. They look more like an iPhone, a little glass, right?
Yeah, good point.
But Nathan, it's just amazing how people still choose to go after these worthless idols, these worthless gods. And I tell you, the enemy's doing a great job in using these idols to confuse people, to keep them from the truth of the Word of God. And we definitely want to continue to keep people in prayer because, I mean, here we are comparing these idols that are mute, they're dumb, to a God that can predict the future in details, our future, our lives, what awaits us, and even the signs of the times, right, Nathan, that are all around us. Which other gods can do that? Some people will claim, oh, Nostradamus, he was such a great prophet. Really? He was?
Yeah. I love it, verse 29. Excuse me. Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. What are their molded image? Wind and confusion. I love that. Wind and confusion. It's like they're nonsense. I mean, look at the priests of pagan religions. They're always coming up with some new rule, new regulation that conflicts with the old one, and it's chaos. And following idolatry is chaos. Why? Because it's imaginary. It's a made-up religion. There's no purpose to it. The demons are liars, so you can't get any truth from them. And so the Lord's saying, give up these idols. You're chasing after the wind. Come to me. I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the life. Believe in me, and you will have eternal life.
Nathan, and that still holds true for today. It's just amazing. I'm finding, Nathan, more and more that some of the wisest people that I'm meeting are individuals that pick up the Word of God, that believe the Word of God, that is the literal Word of God, and they take it at face value to heart. And to me, picking that truth up, that sword, makes people wiser than anyone else. And I've been encouraging people in our congregation to read a psalm a day and a proverb a day, and to get wisdom, to get understanding. Some of the wisest people that I've looked up to, Billy Graham and so many others, they always read a few psalms a day and at least a proverb a day. There's approximately 31 days in the calendar of the month, and you can pick it up and read one a day, and you can get so much wisdom. But yet, Nathan, there's so many that choose rather after dumb idols, like you said, worthless idols.
Probably because we want the idols to tell us what as the Bible says, our itching ears want to hear. We want to know it's okay to cheat on our wife or cheat on our taxes or, envy the rich and the famous. And, we want the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. But the Bible says, again, it's wind and confusion. It's peril. It's death. The ending to that is a death sentence in hell. And only through Jesus Christ can we be saved of our sins and restored to the true one and only God, Yahweh God, the God of the universe. And so there's really no comparison, Vic, when you think about it. I mean, idols, useless, send you to hell. God, the truth, sends you to heaven. It should be plain to people, but our fallen, sinful natures always get in the way of what should be a clear decision.
That's so true, Nathan. And I do want to commend all those that are tuned into our program right now for making the right decision to be in part of our program. And again, going through the Word of God with us, the truth of the Bible, don't ever give that up. Maybe you're part of our program and you happen to stumble upon it. Maybe you just found about it, but you don't really have a relationship with God. Maybe you find the program interesting, but you haven't opened up your heart to Him. Well, you're still open to deception if you do not turn your life to the Lord. Because we notice that it is so important, so critical for you to be led of the Holy Spirit. And we want you to pause there for a moment and consider your relationship with God, consider your life. That if you were to die today, where will you go and why? Some might say, well, I'll go to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, according to the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some might think they've done good deeds, but we know the Bible says that our good deeds are like filthy rags. The reality is that God sent his son Jesus to die at the cross for us, a propitiation that if we trust in him and call on his name, we would have eternal life. So Nathan, maybe someone has come to that realization and they're ready to turn to the Lord and they want to stop running and they want to recognize that he is who he is. How can they start their relationship with him?
The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's your Savior. Put your faith and trust in him, and you will be saved. Pray from your heart, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. And Jesus promises to forgive you of your sins, to wash that guilt you've been carrying all away, and you will be guaranteed eternal life in heaven with him.
Praise the Lord. And maybe you pray that prayer in your heart wherever you are. We want to congratulate you. There's a celebration in heaven for all those that turn to the Lord. We would love to hear from you. If you give us a call or send us a text at 305-992-9537, we will celebrate with you. You can also write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And again, what a great decision you've made. And Nathan, that's why we rejoice to be able to do these programs, right, Nate? To hopefully bring that truth to the hearts of people.
Absolutely, yes. We want you in heaven saved, knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and experiencing all the joys of a life in Jesus Christ. And that's why Vic and I do this program. That's why Lamb and Lion Ministries exists, to call people to Jesus Christ while the time is short. So we pray that you prayed that prayer and now you know Jesus as your Savior.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate. And of course, well, we ran out of time for this segment of the program, and we thank you for being part of this program and our journey through the book of Isaiah. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you. Have a great day.
The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have